Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's hour number two. It's Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. You know the number, 800-919-3776. And Bart, let's just, because, you know, we got a lot to talk about here. Let's do a pinstripe report. It's brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management. I have tried very hard. And the good news is I've been distracted from baseball. Watched the beginning of the season because I was curious about, obviously, the way the game would look with all the changes, and so far so good on all that stuff. And I've kept an eye on all of that. But obviously, the Knicks and the NBA have kept me extremely busy. The fact that I've also had a lot of hockey to watch locally as well, playoffs are always going to draw my attention over anything else. So I've been locked in on that. But I'm, as I said yesterday, I'm not overreacting to a 15-15 start. In fact, part of me is almost, I'm calmed by the idea that there's not this hysteria of, oh my God, they're 25-5 and this,
right, here they go, you know, on the Mariners run again.
Because we've done that already and we know how that story ends. But this is now the flip side of it, which is all the bad is happening early, which you're hoping means all the good comes later, which is really when the season matters anyway. August, September, and definitely October.
It's way too early to be panicking, man.
I'm not panicking, but I don't like what I don't like is the fact that this is a franchise, the Yankees, that cleared out its medical staff, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
After everybody was always hurt. Brought in a new group. And everybody is still always hurt.
How they're doing.
And this is a general manager in Brian Cashman who continues to double down on injured players. And so here, like, again, Carlos Rodon, he was hurt. Frankie Montas, you traded for, he was hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you knew he was hurt. Harrison Bader was hurt. Like, you have an issue with injuries, and yet you're finding guys who have injuries, injury history. And Giancarlo Stanton, again, is, we know that's his deal.
We know. You hear he limped.
Even
like
he's
6
mad.
Weeks.
Oh,
like 6 weeks.
Well, how about the fact that for a hamstring, we're not going to see him till late May, early June?
It's crazy.
For a hamstring?
6 weeks.
But even,
who is he, Zion?
But I give him credit. Even he's like, man, this can't keep happening. Like, I do whatever it takes to keep my body in shape, and I keep getting hurt. Like, it drives. But you have nothing but damaged goods on your roster. This is what you've built. You can't act like this is, like, eventually it's no longer a fluke. Eventually, it can't be every single time, oh, that's just bad luck. The timing was bad. Eventually, it is the decisions you're making, the players you're choosing, and the collection of guys who are always hurt. You are trading for or signing damaged goods. And so now Aaron Judge is now on the injured list. And you won't see him now till about May 8th.
And
they're being careful because it's a hip thing. Remember, he said he felt a grab. Remember the other day he said that, felt a grab. He decided he was going to slide into third, try to get a steal. And then from there, you know, it's not right. So they want to make sure he's right. And I'm fine with it. This is your MVP. It's fine. That's not the major issue. For me, it's all the names I just mentioned. Bart, what has been the biggest concern of the Yankees over the last, since the World Series? What area of the game is the area they keep trying to get good at, and they never get there?
Pitching?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they have Gerrit Cole. And let's please wrap him in bubble wrap. But then you have, as I mentioned, you have Rodon.
Seve.
Rodon was supposed to be another piece that could – he's hurt. Montas, you trade for last year, who was – well, we don't want to give up anyone for Castillo, so we'll get Montas instead.
I can't believe that.
He was hurt. You got him. He tried to play through it. That didn't work. Now he's out. Luis Severino is hurt. That's another starting pitcher. That's three starting pitchers.
He's been hurt for 3 years.
Lou Trevino was supposed to be a big part of your pitching. Hurt. You have, it's like how many other, oh that's right. Johnny Lasagna. Loaisiga is now hurt. He's another, Tommy Canely, you bring him back. Hurt. You bring a guy back who was hurt. You knew he was hurt. How many times are you just going to keep bringing in people who are either already hurt and you're hoping you get them right or have a history of being hurt? This just seems to be what they do. Everybody that's going to say for the Yankees, it's bad luck. It's bad luck. Eventually, it's not bad luck. Eventually, it's just bad decisions. And eventually, it's not just, well, the medical staff is bad. They don't know what they're doing because these guys keep getting hurt.
Yeah, what
do you think these guys are doing? They're walking it. I mean, look, wait, I know this did happen to one player in the NFL, but you're not taking a needle and shoving it to someone's lung and giving them a punctured lung. Yeah. That only happens in football.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're not trying to hurt these guys, but they wind up getting hurt.
And listen,
maddening as a fan. Maddening.
To do the same thing and expect a different result is a true definition of insanity. And that's really where the Yankees find themselves. And now you talk about playing without these stars and where they sit as far as in the standings. To make that comeback, it takes a lot of energy. And
it's got to start with everyone being healthy,
right? That's what I'm saying.
And playing up to potential.
That's what I'm saying.
They have to me, you're a game and a half out of the wild card. So let's not get hysterical where they are right now.
Yeah.
They are 8 games out of first because Tampa has just gone on a ridiculous run.
Yeah.
Like Tampa's off to an insane start to the season that we all know that ain't lasting.
Yeah.
Like, let's all be honest. But it's nice, but don't expect that to be the
norm. But don't let them get out too far because remember what the Yankees did last year. We're getting out to this fast start and getting out in front of everybody.
That's fine, but I don't care. I don't care about that. This team, when healthy, on paper, of course, is good enough to overcome a 10-game deficit in the standings. I'm not worried about that.
Last thing you want is for them to have the matchup against Houston first round. You want to marinate and let that.
No, I want to get that over with. Get that over with.
Be careful.
There is some good news, though.
Okay, what's the good news?
So, while yesterday was bad news, Aaron Judge, right hip strain on the 10-day. Today, we just got word that Harrison Bader will be activated off the IL. Now, he hasn't played yet all season. So he gave you a couple of rehab games in AAA and AA, and he's done well, and suddenly they bring him in. And we know when Harrison Bader was healthy last year, he was an impact player. He was, and you know what else it means? I have to see less of Aaron Hicks.
Are you done with Hicks?
Everybody is done with Hicks. Like, we're at that point. And I feel bad for the guy because you don't want to be that guy. Like, him and IKF are two people that Yankee fans do not go to Yankee Stadium to see them play. You just don't. And you know it. And as a player, that's a tough place to be, and I get it. But it's just a reality thing right now. But I don't want to hear about the bad luck. I don't want to hear anymore about any of that stuff. I don't even want to stop blaming trainers. This is your decision. These are players you're bringing in. You're choosing guys who either were hurt or have been hurt, have a history of it. That, to me, is the frustration. You want to hear Aaron Boone on Aaron Judge's injury? Let's see how serious Boone sounds here.
A lot of conversation, Aaron, didn't want to. Just a lot of conversation that he was very much a part of. I just felt like, we were probably going to get to a situation where we might have been in play on the weekend, and I didn't want this to turn into, it's one thing as, I told him, if you're dealing with pain or, you get hit in the elbow or you get hit somewhere where it's just a pain tolerance thing, I didn't want this to turn into something that he's playing at 80%, 85%, and he compromises himself and it turns into something serious.
And you don't want it to mess with the swing, right? That's all the important part, too. When you're talking about a hip strain, that can definitely mess with the swing. You don't want to do that. So, again, the Judge thing, whatever, it's fine. That's a typical, he was playing, something hurt, okay, get it fixed. That's a baseball thing. But all this other stuff, especially when it has to do with your pitchers. To me, again, Rodon, Severino, Montas, 3 guys that you were expected to be in your rotation. And it's like, instead I got to watch, Johnny Brito. And to make it worse, it's like Nestor Cortez doesn't have the magic he had last year, at least not recently.
Yeah.
So starting pitching outside of Gerrit Cole is an absolute disaster for this team. And it's all because you have guys that you either brought in hurt or have been hurt in their careers. That's a Brian Cashman situation. Yeah. That's what that is. And I don't care about what he did 10 years ago, what he's doing now. Can't be excused, but he got an extension, so congratulations to him.
I mean, at what point do we press the panic button? Not the panic button, but, I think we're probably, 2-3 months away before we start thinking about trading?
Well, July is when when you get to July is when we really start talking about trades and all those kind of moves you can make those things.
So you just got to hold on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just got to hold on to that point. But if something faces you like the Castillo deal faces you, is facing you, I hope he's learned from the past that you go ahead and you give up what you got to give
learn
up.
Learn from the – like, again, you're talking about a guy who's got – who has more career security than Brian Cashman when it comes to an executive in sports? In the four major sports, can you think of anyone else who has more – think about the security that he has in his job. I think Brad Stevens could lose his job in Boston.
Yeah.
You could see that happening. Remember, they kicked him upstairs.
Yeah.
He became the GM. They gave Udoka the job, and that didn't work out. And then he decided, you know what, Mazzulla's the guy. Rather than say, this is the Boston Celtics, we need the best of the best,
yeah,
let me go find the best available coach and bring him in here. No, we gave it to a guy who's never coached before at any level as a head coach. Never. And we're going to make him the head coach. And right now, you don't look like a team that's very well organized.
Yeah,
so if you're the Celtics, don't you turn around and say, you know what? Maybe it's time we move on from this front office.
It's tough because Mazzulla was a coach of the year candidate.
Which made no sense to me, by the way.
Well, they just going off the record. They thought that the bottom was going to fall out when no Udoka.
So, right, yeah. But I don't want to get into the Celtics. I'm just saying. But so there's no one else outside. I mean, Brian Cashman has so much security right now. It doesn't matter. So how do you hold him accountable when there's mistakes made? And you know he's going to be somebody that, like, he's not sitting back laughing because the Yankees are 500 right now.
Yeah.
That all the players that he's brought in are all hurt. He's not. I know this bothers him. It's not about a guy who's not trying. It's the fact that you've made a lot of bad decisions, and yet there's no accountability at all. And that, when you hear from fans, and I understand it, I feel it, you feel like, well, how do we fix this problem if this guy keeps making the wrong decision and it never gets better? But yet ownership just looks and thinks, well, nope, that's the best guy to have for the job.
It's just because the regular season record has always been outstanding for the last couple of years, and that's always hard to say it's his fault because his teams – what I mean, Boone has some type of record, right? I believe, 5 years or 4 years of over 90 wins?
Yeah. Right. There's their regular season success has been there. It's just that when they get to the postseason, they don't have it.
So the Yankees would always have to ask themselves, who can get us over the hump?
Let's hope this flips. And let's hope that the regular season is the part that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then by the time we get to the playoffs, they're finally like, everybody's healthy.
Like,
everybody's
right. Like the Phillies, the team that nobody wants to play?
Maybe there's that. I mean, there's that. Now that leads us into a great conversation that we can have at some point, too, which is the overvalue of the regular season in almost every sport now. Almost every sport. How the regular season really has no value, and the Bruins kind of proved that, didn't they?
Yeah.
And the Yankees
proved that. They joined a crazy list of teams with the best record.
It's amazing.
Historical record to get sent home. But the fact that they got sent home round one.
That's even worse. All right, that's the Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. 800-919-3776 is the number, of course, on the Yankees and everything else. But – Bart, as we just switch our gears for a second here, the Jets added some offensive line depth, which was, again, you've talked about this, that you could do it in the draft, which they did later in the round.
Yep.
They obviously got a center in the second round, which is very good, Tippmann. They got a tackle later on, the fifth round.
Yep, guy who was injured but has a lot of talent.
They're taking a shot at it, right.
34 games.
Mm-hmm. And then they add Billy Turner.
Yep.
Tell me about this addition and what you like or don't like about it.
Well, it's about depth, right? So you talk about a player that has played in this system. So he already knows the system. He knows the terminology. He played 3 years with Aaron Rodgers, so he's familiar, right? Every quarterback has his own cadence. Every quarterback has their own tendencies as far as what's a seven-step drop look like with Aaron Rodgers opposed to a seven-step drop with maybe a taller guy or a shorter guy. You know where to set up. You know where you can't get beat at. You know where the sack point is for Aaron Rodgers. And also, like I said before, you're not looking for starters if you're the Jets. Dwayne Brown, who played well with a shoulder harness needing surgery before the season even started,
right,
played at a very high level. Now, he may have wore down a little bit at the end, but how much is that because he needed surgery?
Mm-hmm.
So you have him. You have Mekhi Becton, one of the most dominant big tackles in the history, I mean, in this league right now. I'm not going to say the history.
But keeping him healthy.
He's like Jason Peters. Right, right. Can he stay healthy? Right? That, and listen, I always say that when you have contracts coming –
it's amazing how healthy you can be.
It's amazing how people stay.
But also
and
system,
fight
right?
Stuff.
Wasn't there some things that they were making him do that didn't make sense for a guy his size?
I didn't like him playing the left side because he shouldn't be climbing up trying to cut people off.
Okay.
He should be moving people against his will like he did in the gaps game. When you move him to the right side, most teams are right side dominant, then or you have a tight end that way, so guys can't run away from him. He ain't got to chase nobody.
Okay.
Right? The tight end can come here, and guys got to come to him.
So it'll be easier on his knee, obviously, because he's not 300 pounds running and chasing
Pooping. He's not pulling and scooping up to the next level.
Right.
So I think him at right tackle, he can be dominant. We already know that, traditionally you talk about play to the back of your player card or your trading card. Well, Langton Thompson struggled last year, but he was a pro bowler in this system with San Francisco the year before he came over here. Mm-hmm. You expect them to play that level. So long story short, they don't need any starters, right? McGovern played well last year, but they wanted to get better, and maybe he can hold the rookie off, but I expect the rookie to eventually be able to take his spot and be able to give you more athleticism at the line position. This is just another guy with Max Mitchell that can play left tackle. Max Mitchell is a right tackle, so you don't want him as a swing tackle. I told you that Vera Tucker is your emergency left tackle if something happens.
But you'd rather keep him at guard, obviously.
Right, because he's super dominant, right?
Yeah.
Because just imagine, right, when you talk about pulling, you can pull the center and the guard, like which gives you two. Football's all about changing the math. How do I get more people to on the side and not have to block this guy because he can't make the tackle? You don't block the backside lineman when you're running to the right if it's a toss or something because he can't make the play. So now that allows you to change the math. So you think about Billings, what he's able to do is give them veteran depth that understands the system, and he also was with Hackett. So Hackett believed that he was important to him to bring him from Green Bay over to Denver last year. So he's just following up and bringing him back with him because he knows he fits his system and he understands the style of play. Once again, this is somebody on another level. You have Aaron Rodgers, a teacher, teaching the system. You have Lazard for the receivers, teaching the system. Eventually, I think you're going to get Randall Cobb teaching the slot because you need depth at the slot because Mecole Hardman hasn't been able to stay healthy coming off a season-ending injury last year. And now you have a tackle that's in the meeting rooms that can talk to the other tackles about the system and how you block certain fronts in certain plays. So this is the thing. You can have a play, right? But you may have to block it five different ways based on an overhang blitzer, a safety.
Jeez.
If you have to have, like, if you're in an odd front, an even front, a rush front, a flex front. See, all that changes the way you block the same play. So one play is one play.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be five different ways to execute how to block based on the front that you have. Are we doubling before I work up? Am I cutting off and scooping? Am I cutting? Am I cutting and rolling? See, so that's why you
need a lot to learn.
Right. That's why you need somebody to teach. Like, they only got six plays in. Yeah, but they can be blocked 60 different ways. You do the scenarios. And guys are moving and blitzing on the fly. And you gotta know that a front can change based on you can be in an even front. And then a guy can blitz the A-gap, and in terminology-wise, it turns into an under-front. So everybody has to see the guy blitz it and block it all at the same time. That takes timing, and it takes experience, and it's good to have somebody that can teach the tackles that type of nuance.
Okay, Billy
Turner. I just confused half our list. Hold up.
Six plays can be 60?
60 different, yeah.
Yeah. I think even Mekhi Becton's like, wait, what?
He's like, wait, just tell me to block the guy in front of me.
Turner has that experience in Hackett's system in Denver, so you have that. All right, on the Giant side of things, and not a big surprise, Andrew Thomas, they picked up the fifth-year option on him.
Duh.
I mean, that was a pretty simple thing to do.
It's a lot of cheese on that taco.
Man. Oh, yeah, yeah. But look, they've done well there. Evan Neal, I mean, they're building up that offensive line, which they need to do. That's the foundation of what they're going to be successful in, especially the way they play. And when you have a guy like Daniel Jones, who's a dual threat, this is, building up your offensive line is important. Getting it right, getting Andrew Thomas right was certainly a big deal.
Yeah, listen, his first couple of seasons, he struggled.
Yep.
But listen, that was under different coaches, different systems, and he really came into his own. I think if he wasn't the top-rated tackle in football, he was top three. Like, he had that type of season. I think that went underreported. And now if Evan Neal can have that same trajectory, you know, if Evan Neal becomes that guy this year and they don't want to give Thomas $100 million, you'll feel comfortable moving Evan Neal over to his natural position. But it's hard to find good big men.
Yes.
I can't imagine them letting a guy like Thomas walk away, a guy that's homegrown, that's playing at the level that he's playing at, especially when you know that it could be some of your rivals that will sign him and you have to see him again.
Now, remember, they added John Michael Schmitz as that's another center, and they
yeah,
got
center,
him
yeah. mm-hmm.
In the second
right,
round
so they're
as
solid,
well.
They're solid up the middle with Schmitz, right? Schmitz is probably the
Thomas and
starter.
Neal on both sides, on the outside.
That's solid.
Right?
Listen, you can't have all-stars at every position. The fact that you can have your edges and your in the middle kind of solidified, that's good stuff, man. Joe Shane's doing some good stuff.
800-919-3776 is the number. Ruben is in Bayonne. Ruben.
Hi, what's going on, Bart?
What's good?
What's going on?
What do you do, baby?
Listen, fellas. Bart, let me give you your flowers. My brother, one, thank you for your service with the Jets Nation. But what you just did was like an art. You just straight up broke down the offensive lineman position from every angle and everything. I'm over here in Staten Island just getting hyped right now. I can't wait for Jets football to start. And I'm speechless.
Yeah, man,
thank you, my brother.
It's go time. We up, New York. We up.
We up, baby. Let's go.
Thank you, Ruben. That was though that breakdown. Like I was trying to keep up with you for a minute, and then I was like, wait. No. I'm lost. I'm definitely lost. And it definitely shows people though. I've always said this about football is that. When you look at it from the surface, it's like, it's just a bunch of guys running into each
Hi,
other.
Mr. Blatt.
Yelling and screaming and growling, and it's all just so much testosterone. And you don't realize the amount of study and intelligence that you have to add into the equation of physicality. Like, there's a lot of thinking and studying that you have to do on a weekly basis.
On every level. And here's the thing. Like, most linemen move on second color. So
second color.
So within the cadence, it's either blue 9-7, blue 5, white white.
Yeah.
So second color they hold because the second color they understand initiates certain things in offenses. So they'll hold and then they shift and then everybody has to recognize that they just moved. So the running back looking like oh snap, before they just moved. Now we got to slide the coverage and I'm on an island with a DN. I got to cut him. Right? But before, it was cool. I was going to step up in the middle because it was a bubble in case a linebacker comes.
So it's almost like you're ready for one thing, and then you hear white, and you go, oh, damn.
And it's like too late. Oh, crap. That's why you literally see players have brain fog. Like, they're like, and they get stuck, like, oh. And you see free runners, like, four, look out. You look like, this guy's a bum. How did he let the guy? How many times have we seen somebody, a free runner off the edge? You're like, hold up, that's Aaron Donald. How the hell is Aaron Donald unblocked in the system?
Yeah.
Because they moved and he's slanting. And it's like, oh.
Yep.
Why
too late.
You think Aaron Donald's going to tell you, oh, yeah, I'm going to slide and I'm really going this gap. No. And that's the difficulty. You got to see it on the fly. And so it's like making these high percentage decisions in like nanoseconds.
Yeah.
But also, you got a dude that's a killer on the other side that you got to do it to. So not only like if you knew what it was going on, it was going to be a dogfight. Now they're making you think too much. That's why, like, the whole thing with Rex and like, all the organized chaos we just say with guys moving, God, you don't know who blitzing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like people's eyes, like, man, hold up. You ain't see that? I made the check. It was odd. It moved under. You ain't see it? Like, it's like Rush Hour 4. Which one of y'all kicked
me? Yeah, which one of y'all kicked me?
which one of y'all kicked me? Or Kevin Hart out there. So you telling me, are they jumping me, Kevin? Like, no, they ain't jumping you, Dad. So it's just him out here. It's just him, Dad. So he an octopus. So you telling me I'm fighting an octopus. He got eight arms. Because I ain't even see that one.
It is true.
That's football.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We have time. Let's grab a couple quick calls here before we get to audio files. We go to Josh in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, what's up? Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What's good?
But I want to ask you a quick question because you were going on about the offensive line for the Jets. And if you listen to a lot of the stations during the day, I feel like they're overreacting on the Jets missing out on Broderick Jones on the O-lineman. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of confused because I don't even think that with Aaron Rodgers, he was going to be starting anyway. So no, I'm kind of confused about that. And you heard the reports about the Jets looking into getting the guy from the Bengals that they have to
Listen, he almost got Burrow killed. I know you're talking about. You're talking about the kid from Alabama.
I understand that, but I don't see them like trying to go in there with Aaron Rodgers having a rookie tackle there. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. I think he was, and a lot of people saying that he was more of a developmental tackle if anything. And I know that people are missing out on the fact that they signed Keith Carter. They have the new O-lineman coach, and I think a lot of people are forgetting that the O-line is going to be way different than what it was. It's not the old same O-line.
He's from Tennessee, right? So you expect more of a gap scheme, which really benefits Becton because he can just be massive and fire off and
I'm with Josh, by the way.
People lost their minds about this. They don't know what they're talking about. And it's the thing. Like, I think center was a more important need.
Yes.
That's why they were trying to get Ben Jones. That's why they waited so long to sign McGovern. The fact that they can get a pulling athletic tackle that can play guard at 6'6", guy that can get on the edges and add an extra body to change the math. You can go down and pull him around, much like we saw Jason Kelce making Jalen Hurts walk into the end zone. Because when you have an athletic center and he can get out, you can all the rest of the tackles get caught up in the rubbish, and he becomes basically a lead guard or a lead pulling guard. You can still pull the backside guard.
Yeah.
So it's like crazy, right? When you have that type of athletic, we haven't seen athletic center like that since Mawai, Pouncey, Jason Kelce. They don't really make guys that's athletic enough to be able to pull and get on the perimeter. He does it at a high level. Mm-hmm. So center was more important anyway because you have a first-round draft pick at tackle. You have a former All-Pro at left tackle. I know he's older, but the rookie wasn't going to come in and take his spot.
People really lost their minds on this. Really?
That's because they don't know. They get so used to listening really to the experts leading up to the draft about who they should get.
You mentioned that the Titans, the offensive line coach from the Titans. Taylor Lewan is a free agent, right?
Yeah, he's had so many injuries.
Did you see this story? So he, on his very popular podcast, Bussin' with the Boys, mm-hmm. he said he filed a lawsuit against the doctors on his ACL surgery from 2020. Now, since 2020, remember, he was a pro bowler. He was great.
He was all pro. That's why they let the other guy go from there, let him go to the Cleveland.
And after that knee injury, he's never been the same.
Yeah.
And so he is now going after them because apparently he's saying that they botched it up.
Yep.
And so, you know, he's only 31.
That's why I always went to like Dr. Andrews. But Jonathan Smith is still out there too from Tampa Bay. I told you he's 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, how many – I mean, damn, how many people – like, I understand I understand how many injuries the Jets had on offensive line last year.
You can't have too many offensive linemen.
They brought in 10 offensive linemen, man. Nope,
can't have enough.
What are we talking about? Becton is a Pro Bowl caliber tackle. Vera Tucker was on his way to All-Pro.
Yeah.
Langton Thomas is on his way to All-Pro. And Dwayne Brown is the wily old vet, like having Andre Whitworth still on your team. Whitworth played till he's 41 mm-hmm. and won a Super Bowl. Dwayne Brown is that same type of tackle. You saw his big butt moving and pulling last year with that neck roll and the sleeves running and people running away from him. So what are we talking about? And they brought in a center in recent years, Creed Humphreys, mm-hmm. Linderbaum. We've seen guys come in straight from college and the top center prospects produce at a high level. So what are we talking about? If they got centers locked up and they got two Pro Bowl caliber, one is a Pro Bowler.
Tackles.
We know Vera Tucker is. I'm not talking about a guard.
Oh, guard.
Langton Thomas and Vera Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what do we? And then you got a
top 10
pick.
It goes back to depth and injuries and the concern.
They just drafted two people and signed
three.
That
it's Aaron Rodgers, and you want to make sure that Aaron Rodgers survives. So that's why fans get like this. And
Aaron Rodgers is way mobile, too, by the way. It's not like it's like Tom Brady in the back. Yeah, he's not what he used to be, but it's not like it's Tom Brady sitting back there or Drew Bledsoe. Like, come on, man. This is Aaron freaking Rodgers. He still got juice. He still can run. He's an athletic quarterback. He's not a stationary target.
All right, we'll continue with calls on this at 800-919-3776 because a lot of people clearly want
to
talk about it.
But listen to the people that have read Football for Dummies and thinking that they know what the hell they're talking about just because they work for a reputable company.
All right, we'll get back to this, but let's tell you what, Bart. Let's step aside right now and just let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Vow.
Audio file.
So, yes, the New York Rangers, their season ends despite adding a whole bunch of star caliber players to a team that was very good this year and had the garden rocking. And instead, although they did force a game seven after a series flipped on them real quick, they went up 2-0 on the Devils, the young Devils, and it looked like they were going to run away with the series after winning the first two on the road. The series went back and forth. They win game six to force game seven. And in game seven, it was a 4-0, just blanking. Just an absolute domination. And in the games that they lost to the Devils, they could not score. And they looked like they were being outworked. They were out. They had the Devils had too much speed for them, clearly. But Bart, listen to the Rangers head coach, Gerard Gallant, when talking about his team and issues that he felt like he had as the reason why they did not get out of the first round.
Well, talent doesn't mean a thing. It's great to have talent, but when you got to play together and work hard together, and obviously the four games that we lost, we had two goals. So that's the bottom line. I mean, you're not going to win if you get two goals in four games that you lost. We scored five in the other ones that we won, and like I said, I love to have talent, but you love to have a work ethic and more forecheck and stuff like that, and we just didn't get it done.
Is he calling out the fact that we just had a bunch of stars that didn't work hard?
Yeah. Like they said, mm-hmm. What did it say? Beats tired talent every day. I forgot what it is.
Hard work beats talent.
Hard work beats tired talent every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
It's not good. Now, Cynthia in New Jersey is very excited about the Devils winning this game. Cynthia? Cynthia?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Cynthia.
This is my first time calling in. My brother got me hooked on your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Make that left turn. Make that left turn, by the way.
I just wanted to make one comment. I've never heard Alan Hahn speak favorably of the Devils, but they whooped the Rangers last night. And I just wanted him to acknowledge that they played extremely well and won.
They played extremely well.
Say it with feeling. Say it with feeling. Enthusiasm.
And Lindy Ruff did a fantastic job. And I'm more happy for Fitz that the GM has done a great job building that team through the draft. It's a good organization.
Are they going to start saying extend Ruff?
And they, you know what? Right. Yeah.
Extend Ruffy.
Sorry, Lindy is just going to continue to be a thing. But Cynthia, they played a magnificent game seven at home in what was an incredible environment. At the Rock, it was a fun game if you didn't care who won. And I didn't care who won because my team was already out. So thank you, Cynthia.
Don't worry, Cynthia. I got jerseys. I'm holding jerseys down. Yeah, he holds Long Island down. Strong Island. I'm going to make sure I'm going to hold Jersey down because that's where I live.
All right, let's continue with audio files, shall we? Where was I going next? I know where I was going next. Oh, that's right. Yes. So Cynthia last night, the Suns. Cynthia had me all off my game. So the Suns lose game two. The Nuggets are up 2-0. The Nuggets have played great. We don't talk enough about them. They played great. But something that came out of the loss for the Suns is, now stop me if you've heard this before.
Yeah.
Chris Paul got hurt in a playoff game.
Yeah.
He hurt his hamstring. They were up 8 at the time he injured his hamstring. They ended up losing the game by 10. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. He's always had the hamstring. It was the groin. It was one of the groins.
That's how when you're old, you're trying to make sudden movements.
You know, somebody said, how can it be a left groin or right groin? How is there more than one groin? Isn't the groin one thing? I was like, no. That's not how it works. It's a muscle.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's Monty Williams, head coach of the Suns.
Too, but never mind.
On Chris Paul's status.
Yeah, it just looked like he was boxing out, and he just came up where he couldn't push off of it or anything. And so we're not quite sure what it is right now, but it seems to be something in the groin area. So we'll find out more tomorrow.
But that sounds promising. I would say he's done for the series because if he can't push off, I'm going to put you in every pick and roll known to man, Chris Paul, and I'm going to make sure that my guy leaks out and takes off on your ass just like Alvarado did, and you ain't going to be able to bring the ball up. So if he can't do all that, then what use is he?
And they have it's Cameron Payne is the backup point guard. He came in, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Their supporting cast has not played well.
This
team, look, they made the trade. You make that trade every day.
Traded all the
depth. For KD. You do. But, right, you trade away your depth, and you need it in the playoffs.
And Craig can't hit the side of an ocean if he was in a canoe. If he's on a carnival cruise, he couldn't hit the damn ocean.
So I think this is one of those, if you're the Suns, where you understand where you are. You need to Chris Paul, you can't rely on him big minutes anymore at this point in his career. They'll go into the offseason.
Yeah.
They'll find guys that want to come play for them because it's Kevin Durant, it's Devin Booker. And then you go for the championship next year.
Yeah.
But this year, it just doesn't feel like it's going to work out because they just don't have enough depth.
They need 3-and-D guys. So instead of Kyrie, I would go Drew Holiday if I can get him.
If you could. I don't know if the Bucks are going to move on him. But you just think of guys that'll fit a role there that don't need shots at the point guard position but can defend. And you're going to need to do a better job off that bench. There's not enough talent off their bench.
If Cam Johnson would not be in that trade, those open threes would have been him, and that would have been a lot.
That's one that would have helped. Yeah, they were 0 for 11. The supporting cast was
0
for 11.
I'm tired of watching Craig shoot. Every time he shoots, it's cringeworthy. It's like when your kid is bad in sports.
Can't shoot, Craig.
You go watch him play, and he takes the shot. You're like, oh, this ain't going to end well.
Yeah. All right, last but not least, let's see how this ends. We get it again. LeBron versus Steph Curry, part 5. Part 5. And it's
Who you got, Allen?
Second round.
Who you got, Allen? I got Golden State.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I do. I hope it's going to be a 7-game series, an epic one. But here's Steve Kerr just talking about this LeBron versus Curry thing has suddenly become a thing. Like, they've run into each other a lot in trying to get to championships.
The two of them meeting 4 times at the highest level. That's what rivalries are born out of. That's, you know, Magic and Bird. That's, you know, the matchups we think about in NBA history come from, you know, that sort of circumstance.
I would argue,
Magic Bird is a pretty close comparison, but this isn't for a championship now. This is in the second round of the playoffs. Are we overdoing this matchup because of the names?
No, this is for legacy.
How's it for legacy? Whoever wins, still got to play like the Nuggets or the Suns.
Like I said yesterday. Yesterday.
Yeah, it felt like last year.
If Steph Curry even goes to a championship, if he wins another championship, this is his era.
Whoa. Okay.
That's what's at stake.
We talked about that on Get Up. Let's tell you what. Let's do this. And that's audio files. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Ray. Let's do this. Because we talked about this on Get Up this morning as well a little bit. And I want
to
see what people think.
Show yesterday.
800-919-3776. I actually swagger jacked it. I brought it up.
Okay. You can do it.
But I want to see what people think. It's a second round series, yes. But is there a legacy at play here between LeBron and Steph Curry? If Steph wins again, he's now 4-1 against him in playoff series.
Yes.
If Steph wins again, how about this? If Steph wins again and then somehow finds his way to another ring, a fifth ring.
It's more rings.
Since 2010 or 11, I guess, we'll start it there. That's when LeBron started making the finals appearances regular.
Yeah.
Steph will have more championships and head-to-head a dominance 4-1. And even that one, you could argue they were up 3-1 in that series.
And you can say that his impact on a game is equal to LeBron's impact on a game.
Or greater when you think about how much it's changed the game.
The three-point shot, LeBron, the business.
Let's set this up. Let's set this up. What I want to know what people think of this. You and I will kick this around, but we have to talk about it. Legacy at stake between the Warriors and the Lakers.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's basically something that we know is coming between these two. Mm-hmm. And as I'm looking forward in the East, I just see so many flaws with no Bucks, with an injured Embiid, with a Celtics team that looks poorly coached.
Yeah.
And really kind of their defense has just not been there what it used to be. They're just not that same team they used to be. That there's opportunity for the Knicks to get to the finals. When you look at the West, you see the same thing. There's opportunity.
Yeah.
And when you have two old war horses like we have going in the second round between Curry and LeBron, guys that have won championships have been there, you think to yourself, whoever wins this series, could this be the team that represents the West?
I mean, you think about Denver right now. Denver is loaded. They're deep. Murray's healthy. But Porter, when he is aggressive, he's hard to stop.
It's a good team.
And you look at, okay, so you ask yourself, what would be the better matchup? Because I just think that Denver's too much for Phoenix. Phoenix, listen, I mean, DeAndre Ayton, the fact that they don't give Ayton any help and allow
they haven't played
Jokic
one-on-one
to dribble for 4 seconds. And it's like, bro, he's two-time MVP. 4 seconds? Like, ain't nobody even a damn pitcher.
Nope.
So I just think that Denver has Phoenix number this year. But I look at the fact that, you know, Looney and Draymond always gives him, you know, difficulty because he's such a savvy defender as well.
Yep.
And the fact that Murray's going to have to work and, you know, Porter, you know, with Wiggins, that athletic matchup. And then I look at Anthony Davis is the only person that kind of makes Jokic have to work on the defensive end because of his ability when he wants to play big and play that mid-range game, what he can do. But so I think, like, I would go 50-50 with whoever wins this series having a chance to go to the Western Conference Championship.
It's just hard to bet against either Curry or LeBron if they get to a conference finals.
Right.
And you know how it is. Like Vegas, for instance. Vegas probably will have the Nuggets as a favorite. If the Nuggets get out of this series
slight
and
favorites.
Go to the – they'll go favorites, but the public will – people will see the brand name and say, oh, I'm not betting against Curry or I'm not betting against LeBron. And so you'll buy in on that. But – beyond who can win a championship, I don't think this matters to Curry as much as it matters to LeBron.
Yeah.
I think for LeBron to lose the Curry again in a playoff series, regardless of what happens after it, like Curry could lose in the conference final and it won't matter. He's still head-to-head 4-1.
And he has more left.
Well, he does. But think about this. He's 4-1, and that one loss – Draymond Green, you're up 3-1, and that series flipped. Now, you could argue back, well, LeBron didn't have Kevin Love and Kyrie in that one finals. That's unfair, too.
Right.
So, fine, we'll call that a wash. And then the other argument in the LeBron side of it is, and then they got Kevin Durant. That was completely unfair.
Yeah, you know how sometimes how history remembers the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady rivalry? How at first it seemed like, you know, before Brady went out and won, like, the last two that he won.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, it was close. And then you look at the head-to-head, like, man, Brady beat the hell out of Manning.
What he had a way better career, right?
Yeah, so I think when we look at it, I think we sometimes automatically assume that this is a LeBron era because his impact on pop culture, his movies, being a billionaire.
Well, he became this generation's Michael Jordan.
Right. And we don't look at the fact that Steph – is right there with him, and he still has more opportunity because LeBron is going to be gone, And Steph, if he wants to, is still going to be playing.
Of course.
So even when LeBron leaves, if LeBron leaves and Steph already is one up on him in titles, if he gets five, then LeBron is going to get forgotten because I think Steph gets another one, you know, before he retires, and that's 6-4, and I kicked your ass head to head. I think you have to say this is the era. This is, I think it'll be renamed the Steph Curry era and the influence that he's had with 3-point shooting and spreading and opening up the court will be more about what Steph did in dominating this era or the era which LeBron, because his era is going to cross with some other people's era. I think you have to give it to Steph Curry. His impact is just as big, if not greater, as far as from a basketball standpoint. Mm-hmm. LeBron made the free agent and moving from place to place and controlling the narrative of things. That's a huge impact on
the
NBA.
He changed the business side.
But
of it,
as far as the winning and actual on a court impact, like, I think Steph Curry is more of a unicorn than LeBron James. And I know I'm saying that about a guy that leads the league at all time in damn near assists and points. But Steph Curry's ability to do what he's doing at his size is harder than LeBron's at his size because he's a freak. It's like Wilt, like he's a freak, mm-hmm. right? But the fact that Steph Curry is doing this at 6'3 and dominating this league and changed the game as far as shooting, mm-hmm. I think his impact is bigger on the game than LeBron.
It's because Curry's, it's like that, his skill.
Skill, right.
Is what is so amazing. And I've always felt this. It's like LeBron is not relatable.
Right.
LeBron was
Will Chamberlain. Was bigger, faster, stronger. Yeah,
exactly. Just an incredible creation that literally – now, he put the work in, of course, because we've seen guys
– Everybody can beat Steph Curry.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at is – but again, both first of all, both guys had to put the work in. We all know this. But Curry's relatability is – like you mentioned, is that his size – First of all, he's bigger than the average man. I mean, Steph Curry's not little.
Yeah, but as far as NBA, but NBA it's size, a million
he's
people
small.
His size.
Yes. So you look at Curry and you say what you marvel at, everything that he's become, and it's more, I could do that.
Self-made.
And people some people like tend to gravitate towards someone that they can say, I could do that.
Yeah.
Why did everybody love Wayne Corbett so much?
Yeah.
Wayne Corbett was the everyman.
Yep.
Like you looked at Wayne Corbett and you're like, that could have been me.
Yeah.
Like, because you just see a guy who got 110% out of whatever he was given physically. And he gave it all he had, too. Like, he didn't cheat the game with effort. And you just appreciated it. And you thought, wow, that's what a human can do. Yeah. Right. When you see
with
LeBron,
and dedication.
You see this guy is 6'8, 240, 250, chiseled. And, like, he never gets hurt. He's got some kind of amazing ability to stay healthy, at least throughout most of his career.
And that's born. Like, he puts the work in. Like
and
I
on
say,
top
I
of it, right, he had the work ethic. But
like I
said, I can't be LeBron. Like, most people look, I can't be that because you have to be as big and strong as him to be that.
So this is how I always compare it, right? And I get it, and I use this quote, and I tell you, he gave me this quote, and I use it all the time, but I think it illustrates him as well as a person. Mm-hmm. Bernard Hopkins, you know, told me, that was built lasts longer than was born.
Yeah.
He was not athletic, fast. He learned how to box in prison. He came out self-made, extremely disciplined person, worked on his craft. Roy Jones was born with things that other people could not do. He could throw three hooks with the left hand without switching and still being on balance, right? He's one of the quickest genetic freaks in boxing history, Roy Jones.
Incredible athlete.
If you ask the average fan now, who had a greater career, which Roy Jones beat Bernard Hopkins early in his career, who was the better boxer, who has the bigger legacy? They're going to tell you what Bernard Hopkins did in dominating the middleweight division for as long as he did, breaking those records, then what he did at light heavyweight, beating Trinidad, beating De La Hoya, what he did, they would say that he's more remembered as a great fighter, even though Roy Jones went and beat Ruiz and won the heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
But he was born with so many gifts that Bernard Hopkins wasn't. Like, he was what anybody can be Bernard Hopkins. He wasn't tall. He wasn't fast. He wasn't quick. Right. He just was an artist. And when I look at Steph Curry, that's what Trae Young could be at his highest point if he puts in the work, right? That's what, Cade Cunningham, anybody 6'3", Dame Dollar, right?
I don't know if I go as far as anyone could do
that.
Well,
no, what I'm saying is,
he still
this guy is right. He's super talented, and he's been working on it since he was a kid.
Yeah.
See, he's been working on his craft since his dad.
It's in his DNA. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.